you will, turn me to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10 tonight, we'll try to help you tonight by preaching to you and teaching to you the Word of God. That's the only thing that would help us out in our lives, in our Christian lives, is the precious Word of God. I've been taking time reading my Bible. I hope you have this year. And I'm going to try to read my Bible through in this year, all the way through. And I encourage you to spend time in God's Word and see what He would have for us. Here in Romans chapter 10, let's read these verses together. Maybe make a few comments on one or two verses, and then we'll pray together. Here in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says, "But what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have here verse 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, what does it mean to be saved? It means to be a Christian. If I tell someone tonight that I'm saved, I would tell them that there was a time in my life when I realized I was a sinner. I confess my sin, repented my sin. You say, preacher, when you confess your sin, did you confess every sin you ever committed? No, because I didn't remember every sin I ever committed. All I did confess is that I was a sinner. I had told the Lord I was a sinner. I was sorry for my sins. And I asked him to save me and be my Savior. Come into my life, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and be my Savior. And that Tuesday night, I got saved and I became a Christian. The Bible says here in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The very night you get saved, you start a brand new life. You start a Christian life. It's interesting to me to note that the word Christian is only mentioned three times in the Word of God. This Bible we have here before us tonight, the King James Bible. My friend, not all of it's to us, but all of it's for us. There are some promises in the Bible that we can't take for us as a church. There's promises in the Bible that's to the Gentiles. There's promises that's to the Jews. There's promises that's to the church of God. But all the Bible's for us tonight. We can take every verse, every scripture, every chapter, every word, and say that's something that God wants me to have for my Christian life. Let's pray together, and then I'm going to try to teach you and preach to you about Christian. What does it mean? Let's pray. Father, help us tonight, God, to take this simple Bible truth that we have and see what it means to be a Christian tonight. I pray, God, you take the Bible verses, every Bible verse that you mention with the word Christian in it, God, that you'll take that and use it somehow to encourage us, to God, to help us to grow spiritually in thy precious word. Father, I thank you tonight that I am a Christian. God, that I've been saved. I've been born again into the family of God. Lord, I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. Lord, you did not have to save me, but you did. And Lord, for that, I'm truly grateful. I pray, Father, now that you help me to preach, help me to teach. God, help us to heed to the word of God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. What does it mean to be a Christian? My friend, if you want the true definition, you just ask any sinner out there. Any drunk would tell you what it means to be a Christian. Any harlot would tell you what it means to be a Christian. Any dope head, any cursor, any thief would tell you what it means to be a Christian. But what does it mean to be a Christian? It means we have given our lives over to Jesus Christ. He has forgiven us of our sins. He has come into our hearts and life and saved us from our sins. And from that day forward, something new has begun. We're going to take every time the Bible mentions the word Christian to see what it has for us tonight. It speaks about a new life. Turn, if you would, in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. This is the first time the word Christian is mentioned. Here in Acts chapter 11, if you would, look at verse 25. We got Paul here. Paul's a missionary. Paul is traveling, trying to win people to the Lord. And it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 20, verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Here was the first time the word Christian is mentioned. And at this particular time, it was a word mentioned to poke fun of, to make fun of, to try to criticize it, and just try to joke around with somebody else. They would say, these disciples, these men that's assembling themselves together and reading the Bible, learning the Bible, they call themselves little Christ or little Jesus. They're Christians. My friend, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I've been saved and bought by the precious blood of Jesus. What does it mean to be a Christian tonight? It means to have a new life. Here, Paul was preaching the gospel to him. It says in verse 25 that Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek for Paul. Saul. And it says here in verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means, my friend, that there's a place set apart where we come and assemble ourselves together. My friend, Jesus never told any Christian not to go to church. Here in the Word of God, the Bible says, forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together, as some men are. My friend, we need to come together. And the Bible says, much more so as you see the day approaching. Let me read this verse to you. I don't have it marked, but I know where it's at in Hebrews. Let me read this one verse to you here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Here, my friend, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to me that you come to church and learn God's word. My friend, a Christian is not one that goes to the bars and drink beer. A Christian is not one that goes to the horse races and gamble on the winning horse. A Christian, my friend, is not one that engages in the world's activities and find pleasures in the world. Here in the Bible says that Barnabas and Saul or Paul got together and they assembled together in a church. Well, thank God for a church tonight. What does it mean to be a Christian? You say, well, preacher, it means to do good, to live right, to read your Bible occasionally and to pray. It goes deeper than that. It goes much deeper than that to call yourselves a Christian. Here are these Christians, they come together. I don't know if it's one time a week, one time a day, but they come together. Sometime they came together, and this was the reason they come together. Look here, if you would, in verse 26. The Bible says that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Who was doing the teaching? Paul and Barnabas was doing the teaching. But those so-called Christians was the one that was learning. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means we learn the Bible. We learn the Word of God. There's never a place to stop learning the Bible. We learn new things all the time. Well, you should. Did you know that Christian was only mentioned three times in the Word of God? Well, it seemed like a Bible that's written for us tonight. It seemed like the Word of God that we hold true to and we hold dear to our hearts. It seemed like tonight that is a Bible that Jesus Christ died for to give to us, my friend. It's only mentioned that a Christian is mentioned three times in the Word of God. But a Christian tonight is one that learns the Word of God. A Christian tonight, could you imagine going to the doctor? You're going with a terrible headache, or your head's just a throbbing. And he said, I believe we might have to do some surgery. You say, okay, doc, what you going to do? He said, we're going to remove your bladder. Could you imagine that? Well, you think a doctor should know about the body. You think a doctor should know about surgery. My friend, would you take your car to a mechanic and say, there's a knocking in my engine. I believe something's wrong. He said, all we have to do is just pump up a tire. Well, that's ridiculous, ain't it? But many of us call ourselves Christians and know nothing about God's word. No, nowhere's to return to in God's word. Did you hear Joel Osteen this past week? They confront him. They ask him, how does he feel about homosexuals? He had enough of backbone, Brother Jeff, to say homosexuality is a sin. But then out of the same corner of his mouth, he said, but they're good people. Now, I mean, we don't hate the people. I've got people in my family that lives that lifestyle. But my friend, if there's sin, there's something wrong with it. If there's sin, my friend, I can't say tonight that drinking alcohol is good, that running around with your wife is good, that living a homosexual life is good. I can say that's sin, and the Bible says it's an abomination, and the Bible says it's not right. My friend, how do we get there? How do you stand up and say, hey, homosexuality is sin? Because the Bible tells us. How can we stand up tonight and say that lying is sin? Because the Bible tells us. How can we say tonight, my friend, that every born-again believer should be faithful? Is it just something the preacher harks on? Is it just something that the preacher saved us just to have a big crowd? Or does the Bible tell us we need to be faithful? Well, I tell you, go soul winning. Is it just something I want you to do? Or is it something every Christian should do? Because the Bible teaches it. My friend, I teach you what the Bible teaches. And I'm still learning. You're still learning. We've not arrived yet, my friend, but we call ourselves Christians. We should know something about the Word of God. I remember when I first got saved, I called some of my cousins up. They've been saved forever, it seemed like. I called some of my relatives up, and I said, I just got saved. I want to learn my Bible. Can you tell me where so-and-so is? You know what they said? They've been saved for probably 20 years. They said, I go to church Sunday and ask my pastor. And when I get an answer, I tell you. My friend, if you've been saved for 20 years, you should know where the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is in the Word of God. You shouldn't have to run to your pastor and ask him. You should know it's in the gospel records. It is there for us, my friend, and you should know where to go to. Here, my friend, we call ourselves Christians, and these people, these disciples, was called Christians because they assembled themselves together and they learned God's Word. That's why we have Sunday school classes. Not just to give the boys and girls something to do. But we got enough of work around the church to do that. If we wanted to give them something to do, we could do that. Boy, they could rake up the straw, pick up the pine cones, pick up the sticks, go outside and pick up the cigarette butts. They could do all that stuff outside if they wanted to. But we give them Sunday school classes so they can learn God's Word. We give them adult Sunday school class so you can learn God's Word. You ought to take those little booklets home and go through your questions Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, answer your questions so we can learn God's Word so we can know more about this Christian life we're in. Imagine Brother Jim getting married. You've been married, what, 52 years? You say your vows, you say I do, you kiss the bride, you take her home, you tote her over the threshold and you tote her into your house. You say, we're married now, we're together, we've become one, but I don't want to know anything about you. I don't want to know your favorite food, your favorite song, your favorite color, your favorite season. I don't want to know anything about you. Brother, Sister Tracy, that won't last too long, would it? It don't last too long. But my friend, we got Christians. We got so-called people who's been saved. And they say, God, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I don't want to know nothing else about you. You say that because we don't read our Bibles. Because we don't pray. Because we don't study. My friend, these people had a new life. And their life was Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means we fall in love with God and everything that's consumed by God. When I got saved, the same time you got saved, I fell in love with God. I fell in love with the church house. I fell in love with the preaching of God's word. I fell in love with prayer. I fell in love with the Bible. I fell in love with the gospel song. Boy, you don't want to hear this, but I remember when I first got saved, Brother Jeff, I had one of them nice CD players in a little blazer we had. And it had those little buttons, 1 through 6, you could program. You know, if you got your favorite channel, you can hit the set button and hit number one, and it sets number one to the radio station you want it to go to. Boy, I hit number one, It was country. Number two was country. Number three was country. Number four was country. Number five was country. When I got saved, we changed number one to gospel, but we kept the other ones the same. The more I learned of God's word, the more them buttons begin to change. You know, I didn't need them as much as I thought I did. Here the Bible says that when they assemble together, they learn God's word. Let me ask you, why do we got saved people now that lives a life full of the devil? Why do we got some people, my friend, that come to this altar, made a profession of faith, asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, and their lives has not changed? Either two things has happened. Either they never got saved, and that's probably a lot of cases. They make a profession of faith. They pray a prayer and cry crocodile tears, but they never took the Lord serious. Or, my friend, they got saved and never allowed the Word of God to make a change in their life. My friend, you got to let the Bible make a change in your life. You got to allow the Word of God to get into your mind. My friend, with no songs, the songs we sung tonight, I didn't even have to open a book to learn them. Even I didn't have to open up a book to sing the songs tonight because I've heard them so many times. They're in my heart. They're in my mind. There's Bible verses tonight that Brother Jeff can quote because he studied them, because he learned them, because he went over and over and over and over again until they get in your heart and get in your mind. My friend, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you should know a little bit about God's word. The Bible says here they was called Christians first at Antioch, because they assembled themselves together and they was learning God's word. That's what we have on Sunday morning. We come together to learn God's word. Not only a new life, but they had a changed life. Look here, if you would, Acts chapter 26. I like this. Apostle Paul had a changed life. Not only is being a Christian a new life, but it's also a changed life. Look here, if you would, Acts chapter 26, verse 28. He's talking here to Agrippa. He's talking to the king. And notice what he says here, verse 20 and verse, let me see here if you would. Well, let's look at verse 25. In Acts chapter 26, let's look at verse 25. But he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth these things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Here the king was sitting down, listening to the Apostle Paul. And King Agrippa said, "Hey, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to have a new life. It also means to have a changed life. The Apostle Paul was sitting down and going through his testimony to King Agrippa. I want you to notice some things that the Apostle Paul said to King Agrippa. Notice verse 16, what the Apostle Paul said. And the Bible says here, if you would, in verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I would appear unto thee." How did Paul's life change? The Lord Jesus Christ made him a minister. For he was persecuting the church. He was, my friend, putting havoc on the church. He was, my friend, killing Christians. But the day he became a Christian, God put in his heart to be a preacher. Boy, ain't that good? Well, God's still calling preachers. God's still calling young men that's going to stand up and preach the truth, that's going to stand up and preach out of the King James Bible. Not only is being a Christian a new life, but it's a changed life. Paul started being a preacher when he got saved because God called him. Now, you ain't going to be a preacher unless God calls you. Now, you ain't going to be some mama called, papa sent preacher. You're not going to stand up here and preach because someone says you can speak eloquently or that you got some good thoughts. Hey, my friend, you're going to become a preacher because God put it in your heart to preach, and there's nothing you can do to get away from it. You know, when I first answered the call to preach, I told Preacher Larry, probably the same thing you said. And I said, "Preacher Larry, I believe God wants me to preach the gospel." You know what he said? He said, "If you don't have to, don't." He said, "If you can live your life without preaching, then don't preach." Because he said, if you could do that, God ain't called you. Woke up thinking about it. Went to sleep thinking about it. Drove down the road thinking about it. Boy, just couldn't get enough of it, man. Go down the road, and you see a puppy dog on the side of the road. You slam on brakes, and boy, you raise your fish, and you spit on the windshield, and you preach to the puppy dog, and preach to the cows, and preach to the mailboxes, my friend, and just beat your steering wheel to death, just preaching the word of God. Here, Paul said, I'm a Christian, and God has changed my life. He made me a preacher. Not only that, but look here, if you would, verse 18. Here Paul said that God gave him a vision. God gave him something to do, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Here Paul said, when I got saved, I became a Christian and I was out to win others to Christ. Brother Jim, what is a Christian tonight? One who cares enough for the lost souls to tell them about Jesus. A Christian tonight is a soul winner. Not only is the Christian life a new life, but it's a changed life. My friend, I never told no one about Jesus when I was out there drinking them Bud Dumbers. Brother John, I never told no one about Jesus when I was sitting on the bars in those hell holes, my friend, dying and going to hell. But when I became a Christian, I started telling others about Jesus. I've never been too good at it. I still don't know how to do it today. But boy, his name just rolls off the tip of your tongue. As Peter, boy, the little maiden said, hey, your speech betrayeth thee. Here Peter was warming himself by the devil's fire. And the men said, hey, you're the one of the ones that run with Jesus, ain't you? He said, no. A few questions later, he said, hey, you know Jesus Christ, don't you? And they said, no. And my friend, a little bit later on past, a little maiden said, hey, your speech betrayeth thee. You're one of them. Boy, I'm one of them. Thank God I'm one of them. One of my friends gave me a title to a message. I'm one of them. Hopefully I'll be able to preach it one day. But somehow, Peter's voice and Peter's speech betrayed my friend. In other words, she said, I know you're a Christian because of the way you talk. When I got saved, I went to work and told everyone about Jesus Christ, how to be saved and what Christ has done for me. Here, Paul said that he was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means you care about lost souls dying and going to hell. It means you care about people dying without Jesus. In verse 19, it also means, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. What does it mean to be a Christian tonight? It means we're obedient. It means we're obedient to God and God's word. My friend, when I was lost, just like you were, I was disobedient. Born cursed, took God's name in vain, boy, done anything and everything I could to go against God and God's church and God's people and God's word. But oh, the day you got saved and you become a Christian, you stop being disobedient and become obedient. Boy, I become obedient to the word of God when it says, pray. I become obedient to the word of God when it says, bring your tithes into the storehouse. Hey, I became obedient when it says that you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost had come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. I become obedient when I heard in the Bible when Jesus said, hey, follow me. Take up thy cross and follow me. What does it mean to be a Christian tonight? My friend, you say, what does it mean to be a citizen of the United States? You say, well, I was just born an American. But it's deeper than that. What does it mean to be part of the military? Well, I wear a green suit and I just march in the line. It goes deeper than that. What does it mean to be a husband? Well, it means I work a full-time job and bring my paycheck home and give it to my wife. Well, it means more than that. What does it mean to be a wife? Well, I cook one meal a day and I wash clothes. Well, it means more than that. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I come to church every once in a while and hold my Bible in my arms. Well, it means a whole lot more than that. It means, my friend, we're going to be obedient to God in God's word. I believe there's a lot of people saved, but they're not living a Christian life. I believe there's a lot of people that's professed salvation in Christ. They prayed a prayer in Christ, but they're not living according to God's word. He said, where do you get that from? Think about Lot. Bible says Lot was a just man. Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a saved man. But look at all that he done, my friend, when he disobeyed. Hey, when Lot and Abraham was together, and Abraham said, hey, you choose one way, I go the other way. You know what Lot should have done? Lot should have just killed every animal he had and sent away every servant he had and said, Abraham, you the man of God, I'm going to follow thee. But he didn't. He chose the well plains of Jordan and pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And finally, he is in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah, calling them his brethren. The Bible says that God, in Genesis chapter 19, I believe it is, sent angels down there to pull them out before the judgment of God fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And he pulled them out and threw them into a cave that Lot picked out. And there he done some wicked and vile things. But you know what the book of James said? James said Lot was a righteous man. I believe there's a lot of people saved, but that's not following the word of God. Christians is obedience. Christians also in verse 22, look at this. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day, witnessing both to the small and the great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means we get help from God. Well, ain't that something? We all need help, don't we? I know I do. I'm looking at a group of people that needs help tonight. I'm looking at some young girls that needs help tonight. I'm looking at some older men that needs help tonight. And my friend, if you're a Christian, our help comes from God. As a Christian, we don't run to the world for help. As a Christian, we're not going to run to the corner and ask some worldly person for help. Our help comes from God. Now, my friend, I'm going to listen to my doctor when she tells me to take my blood pressure pill. My friend, I'm going to try to help out and do what I can and listen and be obedient, my friend. But all I'm saying tonight, my friend, hey, we're not trusting in the world. We're trusting in God. And God's going to help us. Brother Dale's going to go have surgery, I hope, Monday. My friend, that surgery's not going to do no more bit of good than what God allows it to. That doctor can't help one iota more than God allows them to. That medicine that we take, them pills we pop, that stuff that we put in our bodies, it's not going to help, my friend, if God don't want it to. Here, Paul said, I'm a Christian, and I get help from God. Not only that, but let's notice this in verse 24 and 25. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doeth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. When you get saved and become a Christian, I believe we start speaking the truth. We start speaking the words of truth and soberness. When you become a Christian, I believe our speech changes. Boy, when I was a lost sinner, I can go to a baseball game or football game or watch wrestling on TV and yell and shout with the greatest of them. Boy, I could go, my friend, and yell and shout when the football team was winning, and when they wasn't winning, I could curse and yell just as bad as all of them. But the day you get saved, your speech changes. You start shouting for Jesus. Start raising your hand for God. Start telling others about the Lord. What does it mean to be a Christian tonight? Somebody asks you, are you a Christian? You can say, yeah, I'm a member of Open Door Baptist Church. That ain't going to do you a lot of good. Not just being a member here. It might get you in good standings with some people, but my friend, I don't mean you're a Christian tonight. Somebody asks you tonight, are you a Christian? You can say, yeah, I'm saved. Just because you're saved don't mean you're a Christian. My friend, a Christian is one who follows the Lord. He has a new life. He has a changed life. And not only that, but he has a different life. Look here, if you would, 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 4. What does it mean tonight to be a Christian? You say, well, I got a new suit on and I carry a Bible around with me. Well, that's good. But that don't mean you're a Christian. Being a Christian means you've got a new life. Being a Christian means you've got a changed life. And I'm going to believe this, I hope, to the day I die. If anyone gets saved, their life does change. It might not change overnight. It might not change within the first year, but you will see some evidence of a new life in them. I believe that. What is being a Christian is having a different life. Look here, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Bible says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Bible says here, if you suffer as a Christian. My friend, what does it mean to suffer as a Christian? Only time this one word is mentioned, Christian, it's mentioned three times. It's mentioned twice in Acts and one in Peter. And I believe, my friend, it talks about a new life, a changed life, and a different life. What does it mean to suffer as a Christian? It means you suffer reproach. It means you suffer persecutions. It means, my friend, you're suffering for Jesus. Let me read this verse to you. You don't have to turn there, but let me just read it to you. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Let me read it one more time. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. What does it mean to suffer as a Christian? It means you suffer persecutions. It means you're different from the world. And Brother Jeff, because we're different from the world, we're shining the true light of Christ upon the world, and the world does not like it, so they persecute us. They persecute us. I went somewhere tonight before I come to church. I went to a place to get a bite to eat. A woman stopped me. I had no idea who she was. You know what she said? She said, there's a new Mexican restaurant in Marion. Have you tried it? I said, no, ma'am. She said, I'll tell you something. They got a wonderful bar. Wonderful bar. And I'm just wondering, do I look like a man that's going to drink? Do I look like a man with gospel tracts in my pocket and a necktie on and whistling Amazing Grace? Does that strike you as a man that's going to go drink? Passing out gospel tracts and telling people about Jesus. Look at you strange. And say, what's wrong with that nut? Well, if someone can tell us about a bar down the street, can't we tell them about a church that we know in the country? Well, you tell them about a church in the country, you know what they do? They say, that boy was crazy. He ain't right. He's part of them old fogies that believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. Oh, yeah, I'm one of them. The Bible says if you're going to live a Christian life, you will suffer persecutions. You will suffer for Jesus. My friend, you think it's easy? To knock on someone's door and pass them a gospel tract, it's about the scariest thing you can do. You think it's easy to go to someone that you know that's lost in their sins on the way to a devil's hell and say, hey, if you keep living this life you're living, you're going to die and go to hell one day. I've lost a lot of friends by being saved. I've got some family members that won't even look at me because I'm saved. I've got some people that would turn their back and go around on the other side of the store rather than walk down the same aisle I'm on just simply because I'm saved. But you know what, church? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a Christian tonight. A Christian is one that has a new life. I've got a new life in Christ. A Christian is one that has a changed life. God has changed my life for the best. And a Christian is one that has a different life. I let the light of God shine. And a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people can't stand it. And they want to turn away from it. And we suffer because of it. We get persecuted because of it. But if you're going to be a Christian, you will suffer persecutions. If you're going to be a Christian, I'm not talking about just someone that speaks a language. I'm talking about someone that walks in the shoes of a Christian every day. Someone that holds true to the Word of God and believes in prayer and believes in witnessing and believes in being obedient and coming to church and learning of God. And my friend, just following after Christ, one who believes, my friend, that you should be different from the world. If you can be one of those types of Christians, well, you'll suffer. You'll suffer. I got churches now. Come as you are. You know, I've never read that in the Bible. If you know where it's at, please tell me. I've never read in the Bible where it says, come as you are. Come as you are. I've never read that. If it's in there, Brother Jeff, please tell me. If anybody else can find it, please tell me. Go home and read your Bible. Study your Bible. Ask your neighbor. Ask someone. And tell me where it's at in the Bible where it says, come as you are. But we've got some churches and some pastors that says, come as you are. My friend, hey, we don't have a church when you come as you are. We have a church when you come to because you're going to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If I tell you tonight, you can meet any president in the world, any president or any king in the world. Would you just come and dress any way you want to? Well, if I had a chance to meet a king or meet a president, I'd wear the nicest suit I had, make sure my shirt's clean, make sure my tie's tied, make sure my shoes just shined. Well, we was in prison the other day, Brother Robert. You seen John Shelley's shoes? He got a pair of tennis shoes. You know what he done? He must have been in the military because he took a little tin can of Kiwi wax, black shoe polish, and he polished up his black tennis shoes to go to prison to preach. But that told me something about him. He cares about the way he looks because he's representing Jesus. Now, preacher, you saying we should dress up all the time? No, I'm saying, my friend, our lives should be demonstrating the power of God. And when we leave our homes, they should see our lives and say, hey, them people's Christians. Them people's Christians. I like to wear my work pants and a shirt, a t-shirt. I love to wear that and be comfortable outside working. You come past my house this summer, I'm not going to wear a white shirt and a necktie to cut my grass. Well, you can if you want to. I'm not. I'm going to wear my old John Deere shirt. I wear my old Remington shirt. I'm wearing some kind of shirt to cover up my nakedness and wear some kind of pants. But my friend, I'm saying when I go into the world, they see my life and they say, hey, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. They must be a Christian. You know, Brother John, when I was younger, I used to see the women at Walmart and Piggly Wiggly and grocery store. I knew there was something different about them. I didn't know what it was, but I knew there was something different. My friend, Christ makes all the difference, don't he? First, a new life, a changed life, and then a different life. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I know just sitting up here rambling on, just talking. Father, this Christian life is something that should be serious to all of us. Lord, a lot of us talk the talk, but can't walk the walk. Lord, help me to live the Christian life that you saved me to live. I can't be like anybody else. I don't want to be like anybody else. But I want to be the Christian that you saved me to become. Lord, I want to have that new life in Christ. I want to have that changed life in Christ. I want to have that different life so people can look at me and say, what a Savior. He's got a great God. Lord, help us tonight. I pray you would. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and Brother Robert put something on the soundboard back there for us. Invitation song. It's easy to say it, but it's a whole different story to live it. Can we say tonight that we live in a Christian life? That our lives is new, our lives is changed, our lives is different. My life is different from the world. My life is different from what it used to be. The Lord's changed my life. Lord's given me a new life. He's just not took something that was broken and fixed it. He took something that was broken and done away with it. And made something new. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Called Christians first at Antioch because of how they assembled themselves together and learned God's word. King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian because of how Paul's life was changed. because of his testimony. And then Peter said that if you live the Christian life, you'll suffer persecution. You'll suffer for Jesus. You'll lose some friends, lose some family, might lose a position in a job. But you've gained a whole lot more.